Please be seated. I've had a song going through my head all week. The song is written and recorded by the band U2. Most of y'all should know who that is. They are an Irish rock band. They're Christians. Their music tends to have Christian themes. So the name of this song is Grace. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you. But I do want to share some of the lyrics with you from this song. Grace, it's a name for a girl. It's also a thought that changed the world. What once was hurt, what once was friction, what left a mark no longer stings, because grace makes beauty out of ugly things. Grace finds beauty in everything. Grace finds goodness in everything. Grace is what makes forgiveness possible, so that what had left a mark or a scar no longer stings. Grace is God's forgiveness freely given to each of us. And it's what makes it possible for us to forgive one another as well. You know, from very early on the playground, when we fight and tussle over the same toy, and maybe push and shove, we have been taught that we're supposed to forgive when we've been wronged. And even as grown-ups, forgiveness is hard. After all, the need for forgiveness comes out of a hurt. It comes out of being wronged or damaged in some way. Being commanded to forgive, that's even harder. And the parable in today's gospel reading makes it clear that forgiving our brothers and sisters from the heart is what it takes to be right with God and with each other. Jesus tells us this parable as he's teaching his disciples what a Christian community truly looks like. He's been asked by his disciples, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" Can you tell they still don't quite get it, right? His response to that question is to take a child and place the child in front of them and say, "If you're humble like this child, then you're the greatest in heaven." And Jesus says, furthermore, you have to create a space in which each member of this blessed community is valued and protected in their journey of faith. In other words, don't be a stumbling block. Jesus says, if someone starts tripping other people up, go to that person and work out your problems with them directly. Working out the disagreement also needs to include forgiveness. That was the gospel we heard last week. This week, Peter responds to that teaching by saying, "Okay, I can see the need for forgiving each other. But what's the limit? How far do we take this forgiveness thing? Even up to forgiving 7 times? And you can tell that Peter thinks that he's proposing a Herculean effort at maintaining this relationship, right? And the response that he gets is so over the top. I can just see Peter sort of rocking back on his heels. "Not 7 times, I tell you, but 77 times. Jesus says. And it's possible to translate this Greek to actually say 7 times 70 times, which is even more extreme. At a certain point, it doesn't matter how you translate that number from the Greek, because on our own, it's totally unattainable. It's hard enough for most of us to forgive the second or third time we're betrayed or wounded by someone. By the seventh time, it's usually clear that the other person isn't particularly inclined to take responsibility for their actions. And by then, it is really hard to forgive. And Jesus makes it clear that even that is not enough. He tells a parable of forgiveness that really just raises the stakes higher and higher for Peter and for us. This parable is completely unreasonable. It's off the charts in the expectations that it presents. The parable turns on the contrast between just how much one person is forgiven and how little that same person is asked to forgive in return. It helps to know that a single talent of silver would have represented roughly 15 years' earnings for the king's slave. 10,000 talents represents an unpayable debt. There's no way to work long enough or hard enough to pay that off. It also represents limitless forgiveness on the part of the king when he pardons the slave. By contrast, the debt owed to the slave is significant, but it is manageable. A denarius would have been about a day's wage. So we're talking about a debt that was equal to about a season's work. Tough, to be sure, but manageable, doable. And the slave refuses to forgive that debt, even after his own debt had been forgiven. The slave's refusal to forgive the much smaller and therefore repayable debt hits close to home. It isn't hard for me to place myself in this parable as the slave who has been forgiven so much, and yet I struggle so mightily with forgiving what are comparatively small injuries, usually to my ego, my pride. And I'm very aware that there are some among us who have much greater wounds to forgive. I can't imagine how hard it must be for someone who has been physically or emotionally abused to forgive. And I'm not qualified to address the psychological complications that go into the process of forgiving that kind of torment. I do know that forgiveness never means submitting to further abuse. This gospel lesson is not a biblical mandate to remain in an abusive relationship. That is not forgiveness, and it is not what God requires. I am qualified to talk about that, about the spiritual dimensions of forgiveness. This parable asks us to imagine what it is like to be part of a community that is grounded in the very fact that we are first forgiven by God for whatever we might have done or ever will do to harm ourselves or others. We are commanded to forgive from the heart, from the core of our being. And I wonder, do we really understand what it means to pray week after week in the Lord's Prayer, help us to forgive as we've been forgiven, because that's really what we're praying. The God who loves us and forgives our every misstep along the discipleship road comes to us as our brother Jesus to bear the load of all that, and as our counselor, the Holy Spirit, to help us get back on track. It's been said that some of God's favorite things to do are to forgive those who seem unforgivable, to love those who feel unlovable, and to make right those things that seem so persistently wrong in the world. Forgiveness is hard. It isn't just a one-time thing. Do y'all ever find yourselves back at square one with someone after you've fought that internal battle to forgive them? The first time, the second time? When you let go of hurt and resentment, only to feel that sharp pain in your soul when the wound is opened again by some new transgression from the same old source, you think, here we go again. And forgiveness can't be an, okay, I'll do this because I'm supposed to, but I'm not really putting my heart into it kind of thing. Forgiveness has to come from your whole heart. And that, of course, is the very place where you feel that sharp pain of the old wounds. And that's the very place from which we are called to forgive. And it is for our own healing that this is so, and for the healing that is greater as well. The healing of forgiveness has to be a real and visible hallmark of our Christian community. What might it look like to live in a community that is infused with a spirit of forgiveness and generosity? I'll give you a hint. It looks like grace. It looks like being loved by God in a way that is never ending. Forgiveness that is limitless. What once was hurt, what once was friction, what left a mark no longer stings. Grace finds beauty in everything. Grace makes goodness in everything. It's a thought that changed the world, and it's a thought that changes us. It's grace that gives us the ability to forgive our brothers and sisters from the heart. Imagine a community so filled with grace that we find beauty in each other every day. Imagine a community so filled with grace that we find goodness in each other every day. Imagine a community so filled with grace that we find God in each other every day. When I close my eyes and imagine such a thing, I see your faces. I see your faces filled with grace and lit up with the light of Christ. It isn't unimaginable at all to me, because I see it here every day.